Have your Bibles. Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter number 9 this morning. Appreciate the presence of the Lord here today. Amen. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed this morning. Amen. That is the message. That Jesus came to save sinners, didn't he? Amen. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? That Jesus receives sinners. That he calls. Amen. We've been looking, I guess, in, as a topic in reaching our world and how, what the message is. Lord, help us to preach the right message. Amen. We don't want to water down the gospel. We don't want to make the way too hard where, you know, no one can be saved. But yet we want to preach it and teach it and share it as Jesus would have us to do. It's the call that Christ made, the call that he put forth to all. It was more than just a recognition. It was more than the acknowledgement of a fact. It was a call for surrender. And we've been looking at that over the last few weeks, and last week we talked how that we reckon ourselves dead unto Christ, that we're not our own, that we've been bought. Amen? We've been bought with the price. And so often, you know, a lot of times when I get home after preaching a message, I'll just kind of run back through it in my head and say, okay, should have went here, should have did that, should have said this. But I just want to make it very clear this morning before we move from that point is that the great thing about it, you know, when we surrender our lives to Christ, that Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. That he is not a grievous taskmaster, but he is a God that it's not that he puts these commandments on us that we might be hindered or we might not be fulfilled, but he puts it, it's for our good, isn't it? Amen. That he has our good in mind, that he knows the plan that he has for us, the scripture says, to bring about an expected end. Amen. So we're in Matthew 9 this morning, and I'm just going to read there. It's a familiar passage to us. It's not long. It's actually the calling of Matthew, the writer of this gospel, when Jesus called him to follow him. So we're going to look at it. We've looked at a few of these scriptures recently, but let's look here in Matthew 9 and 9. It says, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. It came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. Jesus receives sinners, and all of us can relate to this fact because we all have been sinners. Amen. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is very clear throughout Scripture. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. We've been looking there in Romans, and the Apostle Paul makes that very clear to us. And even today, it's even the call of the world. And many that would call themselves and say that I'm a Christian, their first comment may be, well, you know, we're just not all perfect. We're not perfect. And I understand that. I understand the comment. I understand why it's made. I actually had a discussion this week with a guy I work with, and we were talking about, I forget even the topic, but I guess all this being fresh in my mind, I shared with him. I said, what Jesus calls for is a surrender. There's many that would say, I believe, but they need to surrender their lives to Christ. And that's what the scripture calls for. Jesus calls for us to be followers of him. And his response to me, we're just not all perfect. And as I said, I understand that. I understand why that comment's made, because the first thing when we come to Christ is we recognize our need for him, right? Amen? We recognize that we are sinners. But it's not enough to just flippantly make that remark and then go on about our business. It's not enough to say, we all are sinners. Because Jesus has called us unto more. What he calls us unto is for us not only to acknowledge the fact that we are sinners, but that we would repent. And that we would turn. That we would forsake. Forsake what? Our old lifestyle. Our old ways, our old nature, our old desires, that we would forsake them. And as has already been said here this morning, what's the great thing about it is that the Spirit of God comes into our life and gives us power to overcome. So we're not preaching this morning that we are to overcome by our own might, by our own strength. We are preaching that we admit freely that we all have sin. We freely admit that we are weak on our own and can't make it. We admit that. And we also admit without a doubt that even when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, that we still can't make it on our own. We acknowledge that. Listen what James says. I've got actually three bookmarks here. Don't be scared. We might not get to them all. But if you want to put a bookmark there in Matthew and just turn quickly to a familiar verse over here in James, and I just want to read this because we hear what James tells us over in James chapter number 5, and he says this, verse 16, confess. Man, you want to help me preach this morning? Look at the one beside you, say, just confess it. One beside you, confess your faults, it says. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, you know, being a pastor here at Bread of Life Fellowship, I'll just go ahead and tell you that verse scares me a little bit when I read it, because to be honest with you, I really don't want a lot of confessing going on as you stand up and confess us this morning and tell us all of your sins. I think that would get ugly. So I'm not really calling us unto that. But I do believe that the scripture teaches clearly that we are to be accountable one to another. Amen? And that there are those that are close to us. And that's why it is so important, the family of God, because we are a family. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And as family, we do need someone to hold us accountable. Those that are unaccountable often fall into dangerous situations. And so I do believe that the scripture does teach us that it's a good thing to confess our faults one to another. It means to acknowledge them. He says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. So it's not the idea of us confessing our faults to one that we know. Maybe they're not going to pray for us, but they might go tell someone else our faults. It doesn't tell you, scripture doesn't teach us to confess Dave's faults to one another. It says to confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Amen. Isn't it great to know that the scripture has gave us the power to pray one for another? Amen. That we are truly a family, that we are truly members of the one body. And it tells us this, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then it goes on from there and it gives a great example of Elijah and talks about how that Elijah was a man of like passions as we are, but yet he prayed. He just stepped out one day and prayed that it might not rain. And the scripture says that for a space of 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain upon the face of the earth. I believe the word of God goes to great length here to identify the fact that Elijah was just a man. Amen. That Elijah was just a man of like passions. But yet through faith in the one that he was praying to, he stepped out and prayed, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. I'd appreciate you not doing that this morning, if you would, unless God really calls you to do it, and then so be it, Lord. Confess your faults. It could be a slip. It could be an intentional, a willful act. It could be an unintentional act. The scripture talks about those that are overtaken in a fault, which would mean we were going the wrong way and it just kind of overtook us, or going the other direction. Confess it. There's a great example of this over in the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 19. It's a little short passage and easily missed, but Acts chapter number 19. I'll just start with verse number 13 there. It says, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. It says, and there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Now, this will just destroy the devil behind every bush theory that you hear, everybody. Everybody thinks they're on the devil's radar. The devil did this, the devil did that. Well, here's a group of people that the evil spirits didn't even know who they were. Said, we know Jesus, we know Paul, we have no idea who you are. Never heard of you. Now, this used to scare me to death as a kid. Still does. But here we find, it says, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Now here's the verse I wanted to get to. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. It says, and many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So when the Spirit of God began to move, when God used these men, when these evil spirits that, here's a move of the evil spirits that brought people to faith in Christ. Isn't that something? Talk about a move of the Spirit. Well, here's these evil spirits moving. They moved from one person to another person. And when they did that, fear, matter of fact, this is stuff movies made of. I mean, it tore them to pieces. They went away naked, fled from the presence. And it says fear came upon all them. Why? Because, number one, they had already witnessed that Paul, through the name of Jesus Christ, had the power to cast out these spirits. But yet these other men, when they tried by the same name whom Paul preached, didn't work out so well. And so it says many believed and came and they confessed. It says they told about their deeds. Now, here's the thing about it, and we didn't mention this a few weeks ago when we were talking about Zacchaeus, and I was reading it again later. I think it may be something Marion had said after church. And it was this fact that, and I know we may not have all the dialogue that went on, and I'll just kind of admit that this morning. We may not have every little thing that happened, but we do find where instruction isn't really given of what they should do. We don't really find them being told, all right, bring all your stuff in and we're going to put it in a pile, we're going to burn it. just bring it all. They just confessed it and told of their deeds, and they did it. So they believed, they confessed, and they did. That's the way it works. I mean, that's the way God moves. Now, I brought up Zacchaeus because if you remember the story of Zacchaeus, after Jesus went to his house, and he said what? What was that you quote there about sons of Abraham? And he says this. He said, here's what I'm going to do. If I've stole from anyone, I'm going to return. If I've taken, if I've done this, if I've done that, I'm going to do this. Why? Because his heart had been touched. Man, nowhere do I find Jesus saying, Zacchaeus, here's what you need to do. No, he says, here, I volunteer this. Now, there was one that Jesus did say, well, do this. He wasn't willing to do it. Why? Because his heart wasn't right. His heart had been touched. But when someone's heart's touched, they confess with their mouth. They believe with their heart. Confession is made unto salvation. I believe. And then they did. Proverbs 28 and 13 says this, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning. I understand that. And you get the whole load just because you come to church on Sunday morning. You say, well, I've already confessed my sins. And I understand all that. And I feel the same way. But I believe this morning. Lord, let your word be burning in our heart. Amen. Lord, help us to be prepared when there is a door open, when the way comes, that we know what we're calling people unto. And not us, but let the Lord speak through us of what he is calling. Because the Lord Jesus calls sinners. Amen. He calls. And so here back in Matthew, let's go there. Let's go back to Matthew 9. There is a key verse that, I mean, it's really, it's the basic message of the incarnation. It's the whole mission, if you will, the message, the essence, the very reason for Christ coming into the world, for God, the Father, of the Creator of all things, to take on flesh, to take on the form, how's Paul tell us over there, took on him the form of a servant. This is the whole essence of it. And it's here, it's found in verse number 13, and we're going to back up and look at the rest of it. He says this, but go ye and learn, back in Matthew 9, what that meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I am not come to call the righteous. There is a call. There is an invitation. There is a call that has gone out into the world. And Jesus says, I have not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call the sinner unto repentance. The call has gone out. We were coming back yesterday evening from, we were up in Shenandoah visiting my parents, and we got, I won't go into detail here, but we got talking about some people, some friends of ours we hadn't seen in years, and probably 3 years or better. And Maddie says, well, how come we hadn't been up their house? Why haven't we visited them? I said, well, to be honest with you, we haven't been invited. I'm not in the habit of calling someone else and inviting myself to their house. And so we haven't been. If they called and invited, I'd probably go. Well, let me tell you, the call has gone out. Jesus came to call the sinners. The invitation. And so here when we find this the very essence of why Jesus came into the world was to call sinners, even from the very beginning. And I don't know, I guess maybe this is considered the first sermon that Jesus taught, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I know there were other things that took place, but in Matthew 5, and we're not going to look at this whole thing, but if you remember when Jesus saw the multitude, he went into the mountain to teach, went up into a mountain, and the scripture says in Matthew 5, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And here was the message that Jesus taught. Now, I'm not at all trying to subtract from this in any way, and not to let that speak to us in our own life, because surely if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. If we mourn, how many knows that Jesus, in the kingdom of God, he says he will dry every tear from our eyes, that we have someone to bring our cares to, that we can cast it upon him because he cares for us. So I'm not at all going to take that away from the text this morning. But what I want to point out is that, you know, in this setting, that there were no doubt the sinners, and there were the righteous. And that the message that Jesus came from the very start, that he says, blessed are the poor, blessed are the hungry, blessed are the thirsty. And I submit to you this morning that it was more than just a few good little parables to get us through our struggles in life, although that's part of it, but yet it was bigger than that. It was the group that had mourned. It was the group that were looking for Messiah. It was the group that believed what the prophets had said, and yet they were still hungry, thirsty, because they weren't being fed. And Jesus' message is this: you that are calling out and are poor in spirit and know you're poor in spirit, you that are hungry and know you're hungry, you that are thirsty and know you're thirsty, I'm here. I've come. I'm what you've been looking for. And I know he doesn't say it here, but throughout his ministry, he's going to make it very clear. I'm the good physician. I'm the bread of life. As he told the woman at the well, the water that I have to drink, to give to you to drink, you'll drink and you'll never thirst again. Amen. He stepped out on a boat one day, spoke peace to the water, and said, peace be still. He says, I have the power to cause peace. He says, I'm here. And so here's the good news this morning for us. More of the good news is that our peace has come. The one that takes away our mourning is in our presence this morning. Amen. The one that feeds us when we're hungry is here today. The one that gives us water to drink, he's here this morning. He said, come and take. The invitation is out there. Come and take. It's not just a message of keep your head up, get through your storm, joy is on the way. But it's a message of this: I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Amen. So we confess. We come to the Lord. Amen. When we come into the presence of God, if you look through Scripture, every place where the presence of God manifested itself is that people would fall before the Lord. When Peter was on that boat for the very first time, before he'd even been called to follow, and Jesus had brought him into the boat, or he had brought Jesus to teach from his boat, and Jesus, when he got finished teaching, turned to Peter and said, Peter, launch out into the water and let's go fishing. Lord, you don't understand. We have been fishing all day long, and we have not caught a thing. They are not biting today. But if you say so, we'll go. They went out, and the Scripture says that their boats began to sink from all the drought of fishes, and they began to call their friends, come, and they filled those boats up. And before long, when they got to it, Peter stepped out, and he fell on his face before the Lord and said, I am a sinful man. Lord, I am a sinful man. Lord, he was in the presence of God. And when the prophet Isaiah, when the presence of the Lord was in his midst, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell among a people. When we're in the presence of God, we can't help but confess our sin. Amen. But here we have a publican by the name of Matthew that is sitting at the seat. Scripture tells us, matter of fact, he's sitting at the receipt of customs. And the setting is actually, I think it's, if we would back up to the first part of that chapter 9, it says, in Capernaum, it says, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. This same account is given in two other places, not just here in Matthew, but also in Mark. And I think it's Luke that gets a little more specific about the location, or maybe it's Mark, but he tells us that they have come into Capernaum, and it's in this instant that there was a man sick of the palsy. The scripture tells us that he was lying in a bed, and Jesus, as he taught the multitude, well, this sick man had some good friends. They were so good, and they wanted this man healed so badly that they were willing. Matter of fact, I think the scripture tells us in one place it was four of them. He was born of four. And as Jesus taught, they were in a house, probably Peter's house. I don't know whose house. And as Jesus was sitting around teaching the multitude, there started this noise above their head. And probably dust started to fall and probably got everybody's attention, and people begin to look up, and this hole forms in the roof because these four men had this great idea that they couldn't get to Jesus because of the crowd. And so they pull the roof back and they lower him down in the midst of Jesus. And Jesus sees him and says, "Your sins be forgiven." Of course, they were the righteous that were standing around and listening. And, oh, who does this man think he is that he would forgive sins? Only God forgives sins. And Jesus, of course, perceiving their thoughts, said, "Is it easier for me to say of this man sick of palsy, your sins be forgiven, or say, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins." And he looked at the man, he said, "Take up your bed and walk." And the scripture tells us that the man took up his bed and walked home. You mean why? Because Jesus had the power to heal, and he had the power, most of all, to forgive sins. And it's from here that we find that the discussions began to ensue, and before long it had escalated. It says, "But when the multitude saw it, they marveled in 9 and 8, which had given such power unto men. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs, and saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." In the other Gospels, it's actually listed as Levi, but it's the same man, Matthew, sitting at the receipt of customs. We've talked about that before. I won't go into great detail about this position of this tax collector and being considered a traitor, and that they worked really, I guess, more directly with Rome, and so the Jewish people would consider these people to be traitors, and so they weren't very highly esteemed. But here Jesus walks by this man that was probably considered less than or not particularly liked, and he says, "Follow me." And it tells us that he arose and followed him. And this is Matthew writing this. Luke actually tells us that he left all and followed him. Didn't even stop and collect his money bags. He just left it behind, left it there at the table, and followed Jesus. And he was so excited about being called that he threw a feast, and he decided he was going to have a banquet. So he invited all his friends. And, of course, you know, if you're a publican, if you're a tax collector, your friends were probably all tax collectors too. And so they invited the publicans and the sinners to this banquet. And there is Jesus in the midst of this. And, of course, then we have the righteous on the outside looking in. And they began to look at Jesus' disciples. And I don't know, maybe the banquet was over. Maybe the banquet went on and Jesus was eating with them. And as they were leaving, the Pharisees, why was your master eating with publicans and sinners? And of course, Jesus heard it. Now, here's what he says. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus' response here, I guess, is really sort of threefold. His first is this. It's really kind of an obvious comment, obvious statement, but he says, they that be whole need not a physician. It makes perfect sense, right? It's just logical. It makes sense. If you and I aren't sick, the last place, I mean, he just goes to the doctor just to go to the doctor. I don't like to go when I'm sick, so we really don't want to go just because it's Monday morning and I decide I want to get up and go to the doctor. Amen. As tough as it may be to go to work sometime, I'd rather go to the plant than to go to the doctor. Now, there may be some that, you know, but as a rule, most people don't go to the doctor just to go. And so Jesus makes this very obvious statement, common sense statement, and says, if you're sick, those that are not sick, don't need a physician, need not a physician. But they that are sick, and so Jesus says this, I came for the sick. I didn't come for the whole. And doctors are here for the sick. Physicians are for those that are sick. And if the Pharisees would look at Jesus and say, why have you sit with publicans and with sinners? Jesus, and it kind of reading in between the lines, if you're a Pharisee, is making it clear to them, if you consider yourself physicians, you should be reaching out to those that are sick. Why do you just sit amongst yourself in your own righteousness and pat each other on the back and say how great we are, when in reality you're called a physician, go heal them? I think it was Jeremiah the prophet said it this way, is there not balm in Gilead? Is there not a healing ointment in the land? And why are my people sick? Because those that had the balm were not willing to apply it to those that were sick. Now, one thing to keep in mind this morning, you know, Jesus was a great physician. And when we talk about him being eating with publicans and sinners, and, you know, matter of fact, he was accused a few times of being called a friend of sinners, a glutton and a wine bibber. Let's keep in mind that they weren't just, you know, talking about the football game Monday night, or who won, you know, this or that, or what, the weather. Jesus says, I'm the physician, I've come to heal. And so the message was that of healing. Now, when you and I, when we reach out to our world, we're not really accomplishing a whole lot if we don't bring the sick to the physicians, if we're just kind of hanging out, right? If we just say, well, you know, Jesus was a friend of sinners, so I'm going to hang out with sinners. Well, that's fine. Hang out with them. But bring them to the physician through our lives and through our words. Bring words. Bring those. Those are important. We got a lot of silent witnesses in the world, don't we? We got enough silent witnesses. We need some that are willing to speak out. Amen. God, give us words to say. Can y'all pray that with me this morning? Just lift your hand and say, Lord, give me the words to say. God, give me the words. Let it be burning in my heart that I can reach out. It's, yeah, let's go hang out with them. Let's go eat with publicans and sinners. But let's make sure that we're pointing them to the physician. And that our message is clear. I mean, it's easy to tell people, you know, God bless you, loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, and that's good. But often, it's hard to get past that point where we tell them you've got five husbands, I've had five, and the one you had is not your husband. That's when it gets hard. Yeah, I've got water you can drink. But see, then there's this part you get to, and it gets uncomfortable when you realize they've got to know they're sinners. And it's not enough just to know you're a sinner. Because, like I said, the world will freely admit we're all sinners, especially today. I mean, that guy I was talking to, it was all fine until I let him know, hey, you know what? You've got to surrender your life to Christ. And it was weird. It was just like, I felt the anger. It was instantaneous. That's all I said. I was like, you know, we got to surrender our life to Christ. It's more than just saying I believe. Well, we're all just, don't put this on the internet. Why? Because it's okay. We just all going through life. We just all doing the best we can. But see, here's the thing. Jesus is calling us to a higher plane. He says this. He says, it's very obvious. They that are whole don't need a physician, but they that are sick. And then from there, he says, he appeals to the scripture and says, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He says, go and learn what the scripture says. Kind of a slam, more or less. And because they should know, right? I mean, these are Pharisees. These are the righteous. They should know what the scripture says. A good reference for that is over in Proverbs. Matter of fact, your Bible may reference it here. Proverbs 21 and 3. Let's read it. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Also in Hosea, be finding that. Hosea 6 and 6. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. He says, go and learn. God has called for more, even from the very beginning, even though the Father instituted the sacrifices, he gave the law unto Moses, and he gave the Levitical law and all these things that were to be accomplished, the ceremonies and all. But Jesus is telling us over here, he says, go and learn this, that all this was put in place. It was more than just an idea of you going through these rituals and offer these sacrifices. What I was really looking for was from some mercy out of your life. What I was really expecting was for you to reach out in judgment and in mercy. What does the Lord require of you but to do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God? Your sacrifices of itself mean nothing apart from a heart that full of mercy. Listen to what he says over here, what the prophet Amos tells us in Amos chapter number 5. And I'm going to try to wrap it up here real quickly. Amos 5. I didn't realize how late it was getting. 5 and 21. I hate, this is the prophet Amos, speaking, the Lord speaking through the prophet. I despise your feast days, and I will not smell your solemn assemblies. Your offerings, your incense mean nothing. I hate them. Why? Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beast. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs. I don't even want to hear your worship songs. For I will not hear the melody of thy viols, but let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have you offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Chion, your images, the star of your God, which ye made yourselves. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Save your sacrifices, save your offerings. Don't even sing the worship songs, because I'm looking for judgment. But let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. I'm desiring mercy. And so when Jesus comes before these people and says, I didn't come for the righteous, I came for the sick. Go learn what the scripture meaneth. Go learn what it says when it says, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And I am come not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. So this last appeal was an appeal of their own confession, because they considered themselves righteous. And Jesus said, okay, I accept that. I didn't come for you. I'm the physician. I came for the sick. Now, we know, truth be told, they were all sick. We know that the call went out. They were all sinners. And Jesus said, I came for the sick. I came for the sinner. Invited them to my banquet. Man. The marriage supper. The invitation went out. And many refused, but there were some that received. They stood there in their own righteousness and their own works, saying, we have no need. We have Abraham as our father. Jesus says, I'm able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. He calls sinners unto repentance. Forsake our ways. This is the message. This is what we're calling the world to. This is how we share the gospel. Man, this is the power of God unto salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Forsake your old ways. Follow the Lord. We're called to follow. Amen. No less. The more I thought about my conversation this week, I had all kinds of things come to my mind. It's like, I wish I had thought of that when I was. But it's this, is that we're not talking about being perfect. We're talking about following. We're talking about following to Jesus. We're talking about following the Lord, surrendering our life to Him. Amen. Confessing our faults, confessing our failures, confessing our need. Amen. Father, I need you. That's why the great thing, you don't have to get your life all straight to come to Him. He says, just come and surrender. You say, oh, I got to get this straight. I got to do this. I got to quit this. I got to start this. Good luck. I'll just go ahead and tell you now, you're fighting a losing battle. Just forget it and just surrender. Say, Lord, take my life. I've messed it up enough. I've gone my own way long enough, and I'm tired of it, and I want to go follow you. And as Matthew left all and followed, amen. not even a word, just left everything behind and followed the Lord. I had written this down. I'll share it with you. This was written by Alfred Edersheim. He was a Jewish writer back in the 1800s. He said this of Matthew and his conversion. Said he said not a word, for his soul was in the speechless surprise of unexpected grace. Didn't even see it coming. Hit him like a truck. The grace of God. The speechless surprise of unexpected grace. Aren't you thankful for this morning? Amen, that it came your way one day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. God, we're thankful for your grace, God, that saves. Lord, your mercy. God, your mercy. When so many will, Lord, bring judgment and condemnation, Lord, and despise and look down, Father, you came with mercy. Lord, you came with love and compassion. Thank you for it, Lord, today, for reaching out, for calling. Thank you for the invitation to come and dine. The Master calls, come and dine. We can sit at Jesus' table all the time. Thank you, Lord, that we are feasting, Lord, on that heavenly manna. God, that strengthens our life. God, that gives us the desire, the walk, the strength. Every day, Lord, we're not relying upon our own goodness, our own righteousness, but we just simply follow. God, help us to hear thy voice. God, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and give us words to speak. Lord, to this lost and dying world, that we might show them the way, and you are the way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning.